I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Sally Bosman. In the headlines, FADA receives $18 million from UK to support community-led projects. Minister of Information not impressed about performance of journalists at President Nose's third annual media encounter. Government challenge to put in place legal structures to ensure successful oil and gas industry. Progressive People's Movement presents documents and signatories to EC for legal processing. International Criminal Court to refer Libya to UN Security Council for not responding to its request for information on Saif al-Islam Gaddafi's health and status. And UK Foreign Minister condemns Iran's uranium enrichment as provocative act.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The Department for International Development, DFID, of the UK has made available $18 million to the Savannah Accelerator Development Authority, SADA, to support community-led projects. These include agriculture, primary health, education, infrastructure and business development. This came to light when the director of the Earth Institute at the Columbia University, Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, conferred with President Mills at the Castle of Sioux. Professor Sachs praised the government for the tremendous level of economic and infrastructural development in the last 3 years. Our presidential correspondent said the year reports.
Professor Jeffrey Sachs, who was a special assistant to former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, is supporting the government to enable SADA to realize its objectives. He was happy with the level of professionalism exhibited by the medical personnel at the Tema General Hospital when he visited there, and enthusiasm among the people in SADA's operational areas to ensure that the program succeeds.
We so much admire your country, and we admire the tremendous progress that Ghana has made, and we feel inspired by it, and we congratulate you on a country that achieved one of the fastest growth rates in the entire world last year, just absolutely at or near the very top of the world leads, and this is a tremendous achievement, and I think pride for every Ghanaian. The progress is so discernible. We, of course, have had the tremendous pleasure and honor to be working in Ghana for many years. We visited Tema Hospital, and I can say, Mr. President, we visited that hospital 10 years ago, and to see the tremendous progress and accomplishment in the fight against disease, in the fight against AIDS, TB, and malaria, and especially incredible professionalism of the staff. So eloquent, so knowledgeable, so articulate, so warmly and ably supporting the patients that were in the hospital was inspiring for everybody. A sense of remarkable accomplishment that Ghana is making. And we were so happy to see that. We went to the north, to Sada, and visited the villages where we will be thrilled to work with Sada to support the development. As we discussed in December, the world's confidence is reflected in this wonderful grant of the United Kingdom to support the development in the north.
President Mills described Professor Sachs as a friend of Ghana who is prepared to make his rich knowledge available to any developing nation.
We owe you a huge debt of gratitude for the interest that you have in Ghana's economy and the concrete efforts that you have engaged in order to translate the public interest into something concrete and practical.
chief executive of SADC, Gilbert Seydou Idi, said the authority is in a better position to collaborate with the Millennium Village Project in order to achieve its objectives.
Millennium Village Project has worked in many countries, but coming to SADC, it comes with an addition to what they've already been doing on the ground, and that is the involvement of the local university for development. They have agreed to allow the university for development to play a central role in the activities of the Millennium Village Project. And once this is done, it provides us an opportunity to be able to sustain the achievements that have been made, even after MGT has wound up. And it is our desired objective to be able to speed up a lot of the achievements that MGT has made. The scaling up will involve lateral or vertical scaling up.
Professor Sachs is also assisting the EMB in making Accra a millennium city. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
President John Evans Atta Mills has pleaded with Ghanaians to bear with his administration following hikes in fuel prices recently. Speaking at the media encounter at the presidency in Accra, President Mills said the increment was a necessary evil because governments had no choice as crude oil prices on the world market skyrocketed. President Mills said he knows how it has affected ordinary Ghanaians but had no option because the amount of subsidy and the current price of oil, which is more than $100 and other considerations, gave the government no alternative. President Mills said noticed that Ghanaians are likely to smile when the crude oil prices are reduced. He assured Ghanaians that a time will come when prices will come down drastically.
Now with the fuel prices, my brothers and sisters, let me say one thing. Increasing the fuel prices was one of the most painful exercises that we had to undertake. I know how the increases have affected the ordinary government. It was not an easy decision. I wish that we had because the amount of subsidy that we were using, the current price of oil more than $100 million and other considerations gave us no respect, no alternative, but to use the fuel tank. Okay? So at the time when someone is still having to take some time for that time, so there was no goal to remove the land of the country. Not only the
president knows. Some residents of Kumasi have been sharing their views on the president's encounter with media representatives at the castle in Accra. The reactions have, however, been mixed. A research scientist at the Crop Research Institute of the CSIR, Dr. Joseph Nketiah-Bechi, applauded the explanation by President Mills on the judgment that faced to Alfred Royome. According to Dr. Bechi, the saga must be viewed as an economic issue instead of politicizing it. He noted that even though President Mills' response to the recent Global Corruption Index regarding Ghana's performance was appreciable, politicization of a similar index in 2008 by the NDC has influenced public discussions on the rankings. On the establishment of two new public universities in the Volta and Bunahafu regions, the research scientist suggested that campuses of some of the traditional universities be opened to specialize in health and natural resources and later giving full university status. This, according to him, will enable the government to channel the huge financial costs involved in building new universities into priority sectors of the economy. Dr. Bechi called for the extension of the forum to the regions to enable the grassroots to participate. For his part, a journalist, Samson Nyamiche, praised the president for giving credit to the two previous governments in extending electricity to the rural areas, since governance is a continuous process. He, however, disagreed with President Mills on his explanations to concerns about the Royome judgment debt. The Minister of Information, John T. Akolego, has expressed his appointment at the media's line of questioning during their meeting with the President. He said most of the questions, instead of focusing on development issues, were centered on sensationalism and controversy. Mr. T. Akolego made the remarks on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News.
Even me sitting at the back and stated some other questions that would have bothered on development and many more such in
development. Can you be a bit specific?
Yeah, in fact, for instance, today I was sad to know that nobody asked any question on environmental situation. Nobody asked any question on provision of potable water. How far have we gone? Nobody asked on anything about the roads. There was much on sensationalism. People wanted issues of controversy rather than development, and I thought that was not enough.
So you are a media man yourself, your background in media. How would you rate your calling?
It was above average. It could have been better, because what do we seek to do as journalists? We say we want to educate. What, educating about what? About conflicts? Educating about development, about their welfare. What is it that they expect from government? Are we going to say that we want to tell our younger generation that they have no hope?
Though the Vice President of the GGA, Roland Afomani, agrees with the minister, he believes corruption is a major issue and one of the major the campaign promises of the government. This is said could have been the reason for the media's line of questioning.
I'm inclined to side with the minister that we would have done better with some of the questions he posed. They were repetitive and early stages were boring. Corruption is a major issue, and it was one of the campaign promises to curb corruption. Our position on the corruption desk or the corruption league table is not something to be enthused about. Empirically, the evidence is so clear that corruption is endemic, and what boggles our mind is the chronic difficulty on the part of government to fight it, because whether I like it or not, citizens are inclined to find ways and means, whether lawful or unlawful, to gain some advantage. This tendency breeds corruption, and the government has a responsibility imposed by its mandate to ensure that the corrupt practices are reduced to the barest minimum.
Mr. Mani suggested that in order for the media to get their line of questionings right, there should be a meeting among them before the event. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. SADC receives $18 million from the UK to support community-led projects. Minister of Information not impressed about performance of journalists at President Mills' third annual media encounter. Government challenged to put in place legal structures to ensure successful oil and gas industry. Progressive People's Movement presents documents and signatories to EC for legal processing. International Criminal Court to refer Libya to UN Security Council for not responding to its request for information on Saif al-Islam Gaddafi's health and status. And UK Foreign Minister condemns Iran's uranium enrichment as provocative act. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
You're welcome back. The director at the Center for the Study of African Economies at Oxford University, UK, Professor Paul Collier, has challenged Ghana to put in place legal structures if the dysfunctional history of oil as experienced in some countries is to be prevented from taking place in Ghana. He said aside from these rules, Ghana should build dedicated institutions whose task will be to see to the implementation of the rules. Delivering the keynote address at the 63rd New Year's School, Professor Collier emphasized the need for Ghana to save and invest the gains from the oil production. Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin E.J. Boateng have filed this report.
Professor Collier said there is a need for Ghana to identify aspects of the legal rules govern the oil and gas industry. Though there are economic decisions that need to be taken rightly, low-income countries like Ghana often take the wrong decisions. He advised governments to take into serious consideration savings and investment as oil is being explored. Professor Collier advised Ghana not to erroneously copy developed countries like Norway as steps are being taken to handle the oil fine. Professor Collier said Ghana can converge with richer societies if the opportunities in the oil industry is to be managed effectively. He urged the government to invest in the local economy with the gains from the oil find. He said Ghana, which currently ranks 63rd on the Doing Business annual ratings, has a conducive atmosphere for private investment. The chairman of the Council of State, Professor Kofi Awuna, said government is determined to invest in job creation and infrastructure development to move the country to another level. He expressed the hope that proceeds from the oil find will be invested in the best interest of Ghanaians.
A report by Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin Eji Boateng. The chief executive officer of the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC, Nana Bajansafeje, has painted a brighter future for the country, contrary to speculations that the country may not benefit from the oil resource. He said the GNPC is positioning itself to play an active role in the oil and gas industry. According to him, the GNPC is replacing and growing reserves, training expertise and shifting focus to independently encourage more oil and gas in the country. Mr. Safeje was making a presentation at the opening of the 63rd New Year School at the University of Ghana, Lagos. He debunked claims that there are no laws regulating the oil and gas sector. Here's a report by Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin Ejiboate.
The New Year School and Conference is an annual event that offers a unique opportunity for the academia, the business community, industry players, and a cross-section of the public to discuss issues of national importance. It also sharpens public policy and direction of the country. The chief executive officer of the GNPC, Nana Bwachiasafoje, said laws governing the oil sector were promulgated since the mid-80s. These laws, he said, were differentiated from the existing mining sector. He said the country has demonstrated its commitment by enacting the Petroleum Management Act. According to him, about $444 million have been released from the proceeds of the oil find. Mr. Asafoje hinted that more discoveries of the oil are being made and expressed the hope that GNPC will use the opportunity to create more jobs through intersectorial linkages. He said the vision of the GNPC is to become an active player in the oil industry.
Task for the future for GNPC has been to adopt strategies to become a successful player in the industry on a global scale. We are thus shifting focus and backing on what we have dubbed an accelerated growth strategy anchored on 4 P's. Building capacity and expanding assets, replacing and growing reserves, efficient capitalization and optimum participation, and catalyzing local companies. The strategy will enable GNPC to develop the necessary capability to become an excellent operator that can independently manage oil and gas operations in the medium term.
Mr. Asafoje allayed fears of claims by neighboring Cote d'Ivoire that Ghana is drilling oil from the territorial waters of that country. He pointed out that boundaries between the two countries have existed for a very long time, and this cannot be changed overnight. He, however, made it clear that Ghanaians can benefit well from the oil resources through collective efforts from all stakeholders. The director of the Institute of Continuing and Distance Education, Professor Yao Hinebaseki, that committing a higher percentage of the country's oil resource. The director of the Institute of Continuing and Distance Education, Professor Yao Ohinebaseki, said committing a higher percentage of the country's oil resource to invest in a higher education will help churn out high-quality graduates to meet current global demands. He said the oil find provides a brighter future for the youth if used judiciously. He called on political parties and other stakeholders in the 2012 election to prove to the world that Ghana is a shining example of democratic consolidation.
A report by Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin J. Boateng. The founder of the Progressive People's Movement, Dr. Pakwisi Indom, says the movement has forwarded the needed documents and signatories to the Electoral Commission to make it eligible to contest the country's elections as a political party. He called on the EC to fast-track the legal process in order for the party to hit the ground running in its quest to capture political power in the December elections. Dr. Indom was speaking at an emergency meeting to outdoor the regional and constituency executives of his newly formed political party in the Upper West Regional Capital, WA. Here's a report by William O. Subwateng.
The meeting saw the inauguration of 220 executives who will man the party at both the regional and constituency levels. Dr. Indum said he is not worried about the high number of the Dalton Thomases, raising fears over the viability and sustainability of a new political force. He said as an astute politician, he has emerged not only to add up to the numbers, but to make a strong statement that in unity and proactive leadership lay the success of political parties. According to the former CPP presidential candidate, he has devised the necessary strategies to break the duopoly of the NDC and NPP, saying his political party will capitalize on the slumber of the two dominant parties to win the elections. Dr. Indum said the movement settled on "We are awake" as its slogan because Ghana under his presidency will be wide awakened to the challenges confronting the health, education and agricultural sectors of the nation. He indicated that the party will issue membership cards to its members countrywide as soon as the Electoral Commission grants the movement the provisional license to operate. Dr. Indum asked the newly constituted executives to cast their net wide to unearth the best of marketable candidates to run the party's parliamentary seats.
William Olusu-Bathing's report. A former Ashanti Regional Chairman of the Convention People's Party, Samuel Kwabena Danso, has appealed to elders of the party to engage the national executive to manage matters arising as a result of the resignation of Dr. Parkwisi Indum. Mr. Danso said the elders should act with urgency to restore internal calm and build confidence in the party. Speaking to the GNA in Kumasi, Mr. Danso said that the departure of Dr. Indum could pose a threat to the party's unity and cohesion, but there is no doubt that with tact and level-headedness, the CPP can survive the storm. He was not comfortable with the decision by the national executive to interdict and investigate the Ashanti regional chairman and some others accused of trying to lure members to Dr. Indum's Progressive People's Movement. Mr. Danso said multi-party democracy is about numbers and therefore the best thing to do in the present situation is to dialogue and search for a common ground. He gave caution that if the party's hierarchy does not work hard to unite and reconcile the members, the CPP could be heading for doom. Mr. Danso urged members and supporters of the party to remain loyal and work together to build the CPP into a strong and vibrant party towards the December presidential and parliamentary elections. A leading member of the CPP, Bright Akwete, yesterday took the party's nomination forms to contest the flag bearership in this year's general elections. He picked the form at a ceremony at the party's headquarters at the Silent Down in Accra, presided over by the General Secretary, Ivor Greenstreet. Mr. Akwete, who presented a check for 500 Ghana cedis as the cost of the forms, arrived at the venue amidst brass band music.
The focus of Mr. Bright Akwete's speech to the gathering was the need for CPP members to guard against propagandist tactics of creating confusion in the party. He said the daunting challenges facing the CPP can be traced to reactionary forces that are working to divert the party's attention and resources from focusing on strategies for election 2012. Mr. Akwete noted that the ultimate goal of all true CPP members should be revamping the party as a political force in Ghana.
This day marks the beginning of a great march to recapture power from the powers that have held it over the years. I would urge all of you, Nkrumahism, to remain resolute, remain committed to the ideals of Nkrumahism in the face of all the challenges that we've been facing. We know that the challenges we are facing are problems that are created for us by the powers who masterminded the 1966 coup. They and their agents, they don't want the people to come back to power. Don't let us be divided by those reactionary agents who want Ghana to be where it is for them to benefit. So, together, let us as a party organize ourselves and under the leadership of the present chairman and leader and the national executive to move forward and reclaim power for the convention people's party. They will come amongst you, they will bring tricks to knock our heads together. They want to divide us. Please tell them this time away with that kind of politics.
That was a leading member of the CPP, Bright Akwete, speaking at the party's headquarters in Accra after picking his nomination forms to contest the CPP flag bearership for election 2012. The Human Rights Court in Accra has ordered the Attorney General and Bureau of National Investigations, BNI, to produce DSP Gifty Maunyega before the court tomorrow, the 11th of this month. The two bodies are expected to explain to the court why the suspect has not been granted bail since their arrest on December 29 last year. Here's a report by Beatrice Opong.
DSP Maunyega was arrested by the BNI on suspicion of being involved in the case of cocaine turning into baking powder, leading to the discharge and acquittal of one Nanama Martins. Nanama was arrested by the police in 2009 with a substance suspected to be cocaine. The substance was taken to the police for examination and it tested positive for cocaine. A retest of the substance was conducted by the Ghana Standards Board at the instance of counsel for Nanama Martins. This time round, the substance tested positive for sodium bicarbonate. With this result, the trial judge, Justice Eric Chebafo, acquitted and discharged Nanama. This development generated a lot of controversy, prompting the government to set up a fact-finding committee to unravel the circumstance leading to change of the substance. DSP Maunyega was picked up after BNI investigations established suspicious dealings between her and Nanama. DSP Maunyega is suspected to have facilitated the swapping of the cocaine exhibit at the court. Counsel for the DSP, Oliver Jeble, filed a motion seeking the court's order to ask the BNI and the Attorney General to release the suspect or process her for court.
Beatrice Opong's report. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The National Criminal Court, ICC, says Libya has not responded to a request for information about the health and status of Saif al-Islam Gaddafi before a deadline which expires today. The former Libyan leader's son was captured in southern Libya last November. The ICC, based in The Hague, has indicted him for crimes against humanity and wants to know officially whether Libya plans to hand him over. It could refer Libya to the UN Security Council if it does not respond. Colonel Gaddafi's most prominent son is being held in the western town of Zinton. He was arrested while trying to flee the country. Iran has begun enriching uranium at a heavily fortified underground site. UN nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, which confirmed this, said medium-level enrichment had begun at the Fordow plant in northern Iran. Tehran says it plans to carry out uranium enrichment there for purely peaceful purposes. British Foreign Secretary William Hague condemned the provocative act, which further undermines Iran's claims that its program is entirely civilian in nature. The West argues Iran is building a nuclear weapons capacity. The existence of a facility near Qom in the north of the country only came to light after it was identified by Western intelligence agencies in September 2009. At least 8 people have been killed in a landslide in Brazil. Emergency workers said 14 people could still be buried in the mud in Jamapara in Rio de Janeiro state. Officials said rescuers have only been able to reach the site by helicopter since the main road to the town was cut off by torrential rains. The landslide happened in the same area where thousands of people were evacuated last week when heavy rains caused a dam to burst. Meanwhile, 9 houses have been buried in the mud. And now to end the news, the main points again. The Department for International Development, DFID of the UK, has made available $18 million to the Savannah Accelerated Development Authority to support community-led projects. This came to light when the director of the Earth Institute at the Columbia University, Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, conferred with President Nov at the Castle of Sue. The Minister of Information, John T. Akulugo, has expressed disappointment at the media's line of questioning during their meeting with the President. He said most of their questions, instead of focusing on development, were centered on sensationalism and controversy. And Iran has begun enriching uranium at a heavily fortified underground site. British Foreign Secretary William Hague condemned the provocative act, which he said undermines Iran's claims that its program is entirely civilian in nature. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.